Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. You are here. Touching every heart. Lord, you are here, touching every heart. I worship you. Lord, I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. Oh, I worship you. You are here, man.
My God, that is who you are. Hallelujah. Oh, you are. To go to Israel just for a quick moment. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you are God to us. You are Father to us. You are Redeemer to us, Savior to us. You are everything to us. We give ourselves to you completely, and we receive you completely. God who has loved us with an everlasting love. The God who cares about everything that concerns us. You carry and take our cares. We roll them over to you. We cast every care. We thank you that you're the God who carries us. God who makes a way where there is no way. You render every activity of the enemy useless. And you give to the hopeless hope. You energize and enable the weak, make them strong. You impute unto us righteousness, O Father. How great thou art. Blessed be your holy name. For it is only by your grace that we stand. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I bless you all in the name of the Lord. I say to you, Gama Hatima Tova. It's a greeting of the Jews at this time of the year. Their belief is that from Yom Kippur, or rather from Rosh Hashanah till now, God makes decisions about your life for the next year. And so they say, may it be sealed properly for your good, for your favor. Amen? Well, for us, we know it has been sealed already for our favor. One may ask, why do you celebrate this feast? Well, because there are specific times that God has moved. There are portal times. Mohidim times that are very specific. And that did not change. God has always done things very in particular times. There are particular times that he focuses. And so we celebrated. Many years ago, I guess about 30-something years back, the Lord spoke to me and said, in the latter days of the church, before he comes, the church is going to have reconnect with its Jewish roots. Because both Jews and Gentiles have to become the one new man. Amen? And when we look at what they do and their experiences, we look at it and say, wow, that's interesting. That's interesting. That's powerful. So Jesus came. He died at Passover, just like the Passover sacrifice. Amen? Hallelujah. And he's going to come back. I'm certain of it. The last trump is going to be in Rosh Hashanah. There's going to be a Rosh Hashanah celebration that you're going to be in church or somewhere, and all of a sudden, you're not here anymore. You caught up. The trumpet blast. The last trump. God is very, very particular. Amen? Hallelujah. But today we want to talk about this thing called Yom Kippur, the atonement. I have shared quite a bit about this through the years. Today I'm going to go at another aspect of it because you cannot exhaust the Word of God. And so I want you to listen very carefully. In the Old Testament, the word for atonement is the word kafar. Kafar. And kafar means to cover up. It means to pacify. And we see that word used in the book of Exodus 29 and many passages related to the same. Exodus 29 and verse 33. Clean up that screen for me, please. Hallelujah. Exodus 29:33. It says, and they shall eat those things wherewith the atonement was made, to consecrate and to sanctify them. But then it says, but a stranger shall not eat thereof, because they are holy. So we see in that passage, particular passage of scripture, that strangers or Gentiles, people who do not know God, were not supposed to eat out of that. Aren't you glad that now we're included, we can now eat? Amen. Praise the Lord. This is because it's holy. Because this particular feast is a feast of fasting. It is the holiest in the Jewish Judaic faith. Is the holiest feast or the holiest day of all the days. So there is a fast that started this evening that is going to go on for the next 25 hours. And we'll finish tomorrow night when you can see the stars. Then they'll break the fast, and in breaking that fast, they will do the eating. They will start celebrating that their sins have been taken care of and all of that has been handled. Verse 37 says, 7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar. Make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it, and it shall be an altar most holy, most holy. Whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy. Now, this is also a very specific thing. Because Haggai tells us that if somebody has something that is holy and an unholy person touches that person, that unholiness defiles the holiness. But here in the atonement, it is different. Whatever touches the altar that has been sanctified becomes holy, separated unto God. Wow, isn't that amazing? So in this particular teaching, God is saying, once you contact me, because ultimately he is the altar, once we touch him, we become what? Holy. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is enough for us to start running all over this place. The holiness of God impacting my life, imputed to me. Not because of anything I did, all because I touched. Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 4. Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 4. And he says, and he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. This burnt offering becomes an atonement or a pacifier or a covering. But where do you put it? You put your hand upon the head. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus is our head. Amen? And connecting to the head as the body. He's the head and we are the body. Praise the Lord. And we are connected, and by so doing, the atonement is accepted. Praise the Lord. Are you with me so far? Now, this is all happening in the Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, a different word is used for atonement. It is the word katalage. Well, it is true that the word katalage is used, and since one language in the Old Testament is Hebrew and the other is in Greek, we'll expect that the different word will be used. However, the change, the difference is this: a katalage is not like the covering and the pacification in the Old Testament. The word katalage is a word that, let's say you wanted to go to the U.S. and you had your Canadian dollars and you go to the exchange and you exchange your money for the U.S. equivalent. Are you with me so far? Katalage is that move that brings somebody to a place of equivalence, equivalent value. Somebody say equivalent value. One more time, equivalent value. Last time, equivalent value. What does that mean? That means that God puts the value of himself on you. That now you have the value and the worth of God in the sight of God. Well, it's not a strange thing when we understand that Jesus, our Lord, says that just like the Father loves him, the Father loves us the same way. The same value. He places the same value on me as he places on himself as God. Hallelujah. That is katalage. Now, come with me to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to take it from verse 1. And this is going to be very interesting. But I'm going to see what we can do so that I don't keep you too long. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to start from verse 1. It says here, therefore, being present tense continuous, justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace. In other words, we are not at war. We are not at war with God. God is not at war with us, and we are not at war with God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Someone say, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. It's not through Buddha. It's not through Mohammed. It's not through anybody else. It's not through Moses. It's not through Elijah. It's not through any great man or woman. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. By whom also we have what? Access. How do we have this access? By faith into this grace. By faith into what? This grace. Now, I want to ask myself, what is this grace? That's the question we want to try to answer. Because this grace is about the atonement. What the atonement came to accomplish. This grace wherein we stand. If there is a grace in which we stand, I better know what that grace is. Don't you think so? Because if you don't know what that grace is, well, you got issues. you don't know where you're standing. And you got problems. Wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. All that God is. All that God is. Okay. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. So, let us explore what this grace is. And go to chapter 4. We're going to continue in chapter 5, but let's go to chapter 4. In chapter 4, we start reading, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, had found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. For what said the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for what? Righteousness. Remember what we said, when you see righteousness, you can attach the word access. Yes? Okay. So, it says, now to him that worketh. Watch this now. This is very important. What we're going to talk about now is extremely important. Because there's so many people that think they are saved by works. You are not saved by works. You cannot save yourself. Remember, whatever touched the altar became holy. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. It says, he believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace. If you're working, the reward is not of grace. This grace, wherein we stand, but of debt. In other words, if you are trying to get yourself saved by your own ability, you're going to stay constantly in debt. So what is grace then? Grace is the paying off of your debt. Get it? Grace is paying off my debt by His ability. Not my ability, His ability. We want to understand what this atonement means as it relates to equivalent value. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. His faith. But where does this faith come from? The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He gave himself in exchange for me. Do you understand? Okay? There's an exchange. The exchange was for me to have his faith. And that faith that I received from him brought me to access to righteousness. Praise the Lord. Then it says, even as David, we're talking about the grace that we stand in. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. He imputed, he assigned, he accounted righteousness without works. Wow. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are what? Covered. That is what the atonement was all about. Now, the word here for covered in the New Testament is a different word. Epikalupu. This word, epikalupu. is a word for covering. It's similar to the Old Testament word, kafah. So God deals with us and our sins are covered. This is the equivalent word for kafah in the Old Testament. But it's not the equivalent word for atonement in the New Testament. Are you with me? So we had an upgrade. Let me say it again. We had what? An upgrade. Say it with me one more time. I like that word. Upgrade. God elevated us. You see, in the promo that you saw a moment ago, you know, sometimes you might wonder, every image that you see in the promo has a meaning. We didn't just, you know, have two things together and say, let's have a promo. No, no. You saw the parent that was lifting up their child. Yeah? You saw that? Well, that's what we're talking about. God elevating you. You're a little baby, you know, that can't do anything, and Papa lifts you up, and you see your Papa eye to eye. You look in his face, and your life is being transformed. That is what this is all about. That God has atoned for us, and he's elevating us, he's raising us up. and child of God, the language of faith is for you and I to believe that what God says He's done, He has done. Because until you buy into that, you will always think of yourself as a sinner, a no good person, a useless animal. But God says, no, don't think about you that way. I paid the price, I exchanged with you. Yeah, in the natural, you act like an animal, you act crazy. But I'm giving you my mind, I'm giving you my personality, I'm giving you my glory, and you're not no longer short of it. You are now matched up, you are in alignment with me. And I need to begin to confess what I believe God has done. And through that confession, I become what I am saying. Amen? It's not that you don't have struggles, but you're not going to live your life confessing your struggles. You're going to live your life confessing the faithfulness of God, who Himself has determined that He is imputing to you righteousness. And you didn't do anything yet. He says, you're righteous. You have access to me. I bless you. You're blessed. But Lord, I'm broke. I said, you're blessed. Lord, I'm defeated. He said, no. You're blessed. Because when you say that you belong to me, and you're saying you're poor, and you're saying you're defeated, you are assigning that to me. You're saying that's who I am. But that's not who I am. I am a good God. Therefore, you are good. Guess what the Lord says? As a man, based on the Old Testament, a man comes to him and says, good master. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, no man is good but God. Right? I mean, if you believe all scripture is inspired of God. Well, James comes and says, every good and every perfect gift proceeds, comes from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us. In other words, James says, you are good and you are perfect. But what do people say? Nobody's perfect. Hush up already. Please. Let's just cancel that. You know, we live in an age of cancel culture. Cancel that culture. Cancel it. I am perfect by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God imputed unto me righteousness. He imputed it unto David. He imputed it unto Abraham. He imputes it unto you. Blessed is the man. Blessed are the people whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not. Somebody shout with me. Will not. What does that will not mean? Will not. Do what? Impute sin. But he will impute what? Hello. This is the grace by which you stand. God will not impute sin. He will impute righteousness. So, who is it that ultimately gets destroyed by the power of sin? The one who is imputing to themselves sin and not the righteousness of God. That is not that you do not acknowledge the wrong that you've done, but righteousness says to you that you have access to God, that you can come to God and ask for forgiveness. and ask God, Lord, there is something wrong in my life that does not reflect your glory. I need for you to fix this in me. I am acknowledging that I'm shaming your name, and but this day I want to declare by grace I will glorify you. I will not bring shame to the name of the Most High God. You are my helper. You are the God who has imputed unto me righteousness. Therefore, I stand righteous without condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are where? In Christ Jesus, who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What Spirit? The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit, and they are life. Hallelujah. Are we together? Come at this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, people that got circumcised, or upon the uncircumcision also, people that were uncircumcised, which will be Gentiles. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Faith was reckoned, accounted to him for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. In other words, this righteousness was imputed unto him before he was circumcised. His circumcision then was an affirmation of what some of that which had already happened in his life. Just like baptism is an affirmation of what has happened already in you. Baptism, what, you know, you are a sinner. You get into water, and all you do when you come out, you be a wet sinner. Except if you have identified with the finished work of the Lord, and what then happens? You are a righteous person. You are a righteous person that has been imputed righteousness. Step into the water of the Word of God and you come out righteous. You didn't go in a sinner. You went in righteous by imputation. You sin more. Come. You sin more when you think you're a sinner. Because you think you don't have a chance. You walk righteously when you are righteous. Let me put it this way. If these were all white, this is a white suit, and today, actually, if you were to go to a Jewish synagogue, everybody's wearing white. Let's say this is all white. Do you think if I see a puddle of water, muddy water, that I will jump into it? What do you think I will do? I'll stay away from it because I'm wearing white. When you are righteous, you skirt away from that which is going to cause you to live in sin. But when you think you're a pig, and that is your nature, guess what you're going to do? Jump in there and roll all over it. When you think my personality is an angry one, I'm guess what? You're going to be angry most of your time. When you know that you're a person of peace, you calm down. You act right. Somebody getting this? He says, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal. That's right. A seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet been uncircumcised. Remember what I said earlier? You're the righteous getting into the water. Once you accept the love of God, you are no longer a sinner, you are a saint, separated unto God. You are like the one who is touching that altar and therefore has become holy by making contact with the altar. Hello? That righteousness might be imputed unto them also, to the uncircumcised. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir, watch this now, that he should be the heir of the world. The heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. You are an heir of the world through the righteousness of faith, not works, not the law. Praise the Lord. Now, this is not Bible study for Bible study's sake. This is a study of the Word of God so that we know what our rights are, because we are coming to the equivalent value. Amen? It's not just about covering of sin anymore. This is about having the God character. Praise God. Let's go quickly. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. Ah. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. So what is it saying? It's saying that those that were keeping the natural laws, the laws of God, by works, could not be heirs. You're not an heir because you are keeping the Mosaic law or any law. It always has been by faith. The just live by faith. It has always been by faith. The law just revealed my need for God. That was the purpose of the law. It revealed my need for God to show to me that there was something wrong in my life that needed to be corrected. But it did not give me the power to inherit. What gave me the power to be an heir of the world, to see the world as belonging to me, is the expression of faith as an heir. He says, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Huh? Whatever promise, covenant promise was made, is of none effect, is void. It happens only by the expression of faith. That goes for anybody. Believers who are thinking, I'm going to get more from God based on works. Boo-hoo, you're not. You get it by just believing God. God, you are my source and my resource. I am who I am by your grace, not by my works. My works are basically an outliving of my God character. Come. My works are not saving me. They are a demonstration of the fact that I am saved. Let me say it again. Works can never save you. Works are a demonstration of the fact that you now have the character of God and have the ability of God to do the right thing. If you're trying to get saved by doing the right thing, God says you will always be in debt because you cannot pay it. You'll never be good enough. Primarily because you have not, the very fact that you've not accepted the grace and the mercy of God makes you canceled. No matter how good you get. So we need to receive the love and the mercies of God, the goodness of God, so that the promises of God are in effect, not of non-effect. I want the word of God to be effective in my life. It says, because the law worketh wrath. That's all the law does. It works wrath. And the wrath of man will not bring about repentance. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. To all the seed. The promise is sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that which also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So, look at that statement there. I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God. Before him whom he believed. Hidden in that statement, in the language, is this: before God that I'm looking at face to face. He has brought me, he elevated me to a place of equality. So now what is going to happen? I'm going to act the way he acts, because what does he do? He quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So what am I going to do? Just like he does. I'm going to call those things which be not as though they were. And what am I going to say? I am righteous. I am perfect. I am holy unto God. I can do all things through Christ. I am rich. I am whole, healed, blessed. But my life doesn't show it right now, but I'm saying what I'm saying, because that's exactly what God, my Father, will say. I'm looking at his face and he's saying something and I'm saying the same thing. That's what confession is. Saying the same thing. Homologia. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Are you getting something? You say, Pastor, why do you spend time teaching? Because when you know the truth, you don't have to depend on me doing something for you. The older you are in faith, guess what? The less I'm going to pray every time for you about something. I'm just going to share with you this, just give you hints, and so that you learn how. You learn how to apply your faith. If your teacher has, let's say you were in a mechanic school learning how to fix cars, and your teacher taught you how to use your wrenches and whatever else, and for the rest of your life, the teacher has to come there to teach you how to use the wrench. Have you passed or you a failure? I am not called to raise failures. I'm here to teach you, break it down so you understand it and say, that's what the Word of God says. This is how I'm going to act, and this is how I'm going to live my life now. Hallelujah. And in living it out, you become dangerous to the forces of darkness because there's nothing they can do. You know too much. Hallelujah. To be deceived. You're not ignorant. I'm not interested in impressing anybody. What's important is that you know what the truth is. Amen? He quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was what? Spoken. God told him something, and everything that he heard from God when he looked at life was not lining up. But he kept on believing what God said. So God says something about you. He says, you are free from being an alcoholic. You don't have to go every time and say, my name is so-and-so, and I'm an alcoholic. I freed you from that. But you stumbled. And God says, don't accept your stumbling. Accept what I said, that you're free. I'm free? Yes, you are. You delivered. I don't feel like I'm delivered. Yes, you are. You delivered. You're free. How do I experience it? Just keep on saying what I said. I am free. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a drug addict. I am not whatever sin. I'm not that. So what are you? I am righteous. I have access to the Most High God. I am free from blemish, spots, and wrinkles. I am the blessed of the Lord. And everybody's saying whatever it is that they are saying about you, but you keep on saying what you are saying about yourself based on what God said. There's an exchange. During the Passover, when Jesus was going to the cross, there was a man called Barabbas Jesus. Barabbas Jesus, son of the Father Jesus. But this Barabbas Jesus was a crook, a thief, an insurrectionist. And he is in the dungeon while Jesus is out here being whooped. Jesus, son of the Father, same name. Are you with me? And when they brought, you know, when they said, who do you want to be crucified? They were calling the name of Jesus. What do you think Barabbas, Jesus, was thinking when he went to get him? He's thinking, I'm the one they're going to get. Today's my day. I'm dying today. But as he's coming out, he sees the other Barabbas, Jesus, the real Jesus, who is also son of the Father, taking the place of son of the Father, who is a sinner. And righteousness. Jesus died and extended grace to the other one. Hallelujah. Are you with me? My salvation is based on this exchange. Switching places with me. So I take your sin, you take my righteousness. Now act like I do. Because I'm not only imputing it to you, I'm giving you the ability to stand in this righteousness. Hallelujah. I have the ability to do the right thing, to say the right things, to act appropriately. I have God's grace flowing in my life. Hallelujah. He says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He just believed what God said, and he did not stagger on it, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded, being present tense continuous, no break, fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, because he believed that what God promised, God was able to perform, God therefore imputed to him that faith of believing that God can do what God said he's going to do for righteousness. What do you believe? What did God say in his word that he's going to do for you? The word of God says he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was bestowed upon him. By his stripes that he bore, we were healed. It says that? Then just accept it. Just accept it. Does the word of God says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers? God wants me to prosper even as my soul prospers. I thank you, my soul is prosperous. I walk in divine health. I'm prosperous. God is providing for me. He meets all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm blessed and highly favored. Father, I receive your word and I thank you. I thank you that you will never leave me nor forsake me. You're the God, you say, if I acknowledge you in my ways, you will direct my path. I thank you for perfect direction. I do not stumble, I do not fail, I do not falter. I do not stagger in my faith because it is not my faith, it is your faith, and you do not stagger in your faith, therefore I do not stagger. Hallelujah. Everything can be falling apart. Just stick with the program. Stick with the word of God. God told Abraham, you're going to have a baby. 75 years old. 25 years later. And because God is that kind of a God, not only did he have Isaac, after he's 100 plus, he's still having children. All these years, nothing. And now he has a bumper crop. Wow. It's never too late with God. Amen? Just trust God to take you all the way and help you fulfill your divine destiny. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, let me do this. Come with me back to Romans 5:11. I encourage you strongly to read Romans 4 and Romans 5. It says, "And not only so, but we also join God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." And that word is used only one time. And you think it will be used many times in the New Testament. It's used one time. Because look at that statement, "at one meant." You see it? A-T-O-N-E, one, M-E-N-T, at one meant. When he said it is finished, it was finished. He dealt with it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me go a little bit on this chapter. I'll take you to a very important verse, verse 17 of Romans 5. Romans 5, 17. "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of" what? "Of grace and of the gift" of what? It is a what? It's a gift. It is a gift. It's not even assigned as a reward. It is a gift of righteousness shall do what? Reign. Where? In life by one Jesus Christ. We get to reign in life. God brings us to the realm of reigning. So if you reign in, you must have a kingly mentality. A mentality of leadership. Hallelujah. And that's what God wants us to switch to. Having a mentality of a leader. You reign in life. You are not being dragged through life. You are in charge. Praise the Lord. Reign in life. How? By one, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. It goes on and says in verse 18, it says, "Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one," the righteousness of one, meaning Jesus, "the free gift came upon" how many people? "All men unto justification" of what? "Of life." You know, this is why nobody has the power to control and determine your life. Not when you call to reign. Amen? Now we subject ourselves, or submit ourselves to each other for greater purposes, but when it's heavy-handed, and somebody wants to be a dictator over your life, to control whatever it is you're going to do in your life, you say, wait a minute, something is wrong here. Because I have justification in him, and he has given me the ability to reign in life, not to be enslaved in life. Amen? Hallelujah. It's a mentality, a change. And you need to stand against whatever it is that wants to subject you to the control of man and make you less than what God says you are. It's your individual responsibility. You want to be somebody's footmat? Your decision. But God has already declared that I don't want you to be the footmat for anybody. I want you to reign in life. The free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Justification. Justification of life. What does that mean? It means that your life is ordered. But it also means that your life has a reason. There's a justification for your life. I have meaning. I'm not a robot. I have purpose. Hallelujah. I have equivalent value. And therefore, I'm going to think the God way. Hallelujah. It should affect every aspect of our lives, the decisions we make about living life. Word of God says in the next verse, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men, as by the offense of one, meaning the offense of Adam, judgment came upon all men, to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, watch this now, remember it says all men, that's what we've been reading, right? Now watch this. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Many were made sinners. What does that mean? Many were made sinners does not mean all. It means many were made sinners. Is there any possibility that there were some that were not made sinners? Who could that be? And then you start reading in the Old Testament about people that were blameless in their generation. Why? Because they refused to accept sin in their lives. Enoch walked with God and was not. Somebody refused to accept, I'm a sinner, and God had to acknowledge it. He said, many. In other words, people still had a choice. Based on the revelation of the knowledge that they had. Abel had heard about the sacrifice that Father God made for the redemption of his father, Adam, and his mother, Eve, and brought the sacrifice, first fruit. And God was pleased. and his blood cries out. But the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ speaks better things, because Abel's blood was crying out vengeance. But Jesus' blood says, not vengeance, righteousness. Righteousness. If anybody goes to hell, it's going to be because of the decision they made, not because God didn't love them. Because God has imputed righteousness already. Let me conclude tonight by going to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He's my advocate. You know what an advocate is, right? Your advocate is the one who speaks for you, your lawyer, advocating for you. See, we've got an advocate, and he is Jesus Christ, the righteous. We've got a righteous one advocating for us. Verse 2, and he is the propitiation. That's a fancy word. He is the satisfaction for our sins. He's taking care of our sin issue. And this is the catch, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the what? Whole world. So in the sight of God, are you ready for this shaker? In the sight of God, everybody's saved. However, if you don't lay hold and claim to that by faith, because you did not cash your check, you will die broke and end up in hell. The message that we have to everybody all around the world, no matter what their religious belief system is God loves you. Jesus has paid the price. Claim your coupon. Apply your coupon so you are saved. Forget about this, all this stuff that you're doing. Jesus, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And he's giving you equivalent value. He thinks that you are like him. And he wants you to say that every day. I think this is the most wonderful grace gift that we have. It's called the amazing grace of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, let's stop there tonight. There's so much more to share with you. But I do believe that we laid down the groundwork and foundation for what it is that we need to have in our lives and believe. Amen? Praise the Lord. God is good. Hallelujah. Well, tonight we are going to express our deep expressions of thanksgiving to the Lord in our prayers, in our giving, in our stance, as we come before him and just let God know that we appreciate everything that he's done for us. Amen? Tonight, there's a special envelope that we have for Yom Kippur, and I'd like for you to use that, if you may, if you've not already written out your offering. Just raise your hand and the envelope is going to be given to you. Anyone needs an envelope? Some on the other side. You cannot pay for your salvation. Nobody can. If you try to pay for your salvation, you've already kicked into the realm of works. But you can express gratitude to God for what He has done for you and honor Him from the depths of your being with thanksgiving. As you do so, and during this feast, the time of the feast, there are three key feasts that the Lord says we should not come to Him empty-handed. And I do believe that when we are celebrating the feast of the Lord, that we should not come empty-handed to Him. We should come with an expression of thanksgiving at all times and say, God, I want to thank You for the privilege accorded me to be called a son, a child of the Most High. I belong to You and I receive Your character. And the character of God is that of a giver. God so loved that He gave. And when we love, we give. Amen? And so let us just honor God with our giving right now. Wherever you are, you can do it. Those of you that are listening online, give through the platforms that are available to you, through the website, through e-transfer. And if you can't do it in any of those ways, just simply writing a check towards that end and sending it to this address will suffice. The very fact that you are making that commitment, even though you're writing it now and it might not arrive right this very moment, like those of those that may be doing it through other platforms right now, the very act of you doing it is received by the Lord as a right now experience. So I encourage you to just give unto the Lord and let Him shower you with His undeniable graces. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And next thing we're going to do is we're going to share together in communion. If you don't have your elements of communion, just raise your right hand and you'll be served. There's one over here that doesn't have. Everyone else has? Okay. I'm going to ask Mama to come. Tomorrow is going to be the last day of this particular conference. And then we are going to go on to the next one next week, or a week or so from now, starting on the 20th through the 27th. That one you need to brace for. That's going to be 7 days. Amen? And we're going to have speakers from Israel. And the Lord spoke to me about one more person who is very close to the people of Israel and to the Jewish people. And the Lord says, I want him to participate in this particular segment. So I'm going to have a surprise guest that's going to speak to us also. Amen? Hallelujah. Rise with us. His name is higher than any other. His name is Jesus. His name is Lord. His name is higher than any other. His name is Jesus. His name is Lord. There's no name like your name, Lord. Because your name is higher than every other name. And at your name, every knee bows and every tongue confesses that you are Lord. You have elevated us as your sons. That even the mention of our names terrorizes the forces of darkness. The demonic forces that came against the sons of Sceva said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are you? Lord, we thank you that this grace and this elevation sanctifies our names, whatever our names might be, and that we, by the authority of grace, because we are aligned to you, are moved mightily this day to demolish the forces of darkness and to see the exaltation of your glorious name. We take of this body and we eat of this body and we become one with this body. Our bodies are healed, restored, and made whole. Our bodies are not holding points for any kind of sickness or disease. So we decree by the word of decree, total health, total healing, every organ healed, every aspect, hair, skin, organs, internal and external, everything healed by the authority of the everlasting word. Thank you, Father, that it is done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Take off this body and eat.
Today is the day of atonement. Jesus has paid the price. I'll give all of us opportunity before we take of the wine to ask the Lord to have mercy, forgive those who hurt you, and release them, and also ask forgiveness for yourself.
Amen.
Can you do that with your own mouth? And lead all of us together so we can all get the freedom. Say, Heavenly Father, please forgive me for every sin.
For every sin.
That I've sinned against you, against anyone, against myself. Have mercy on me. Wash me with the precious blood of Jesus. Forgive those who've sinned against me also.
Forgive those who've sinned against me
also. And against you.
And against you.
We receive now.
We receive now
the righteousness of God.
The righteousness of God
in Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
Every sin is overridden.
Every sin is overridden.
We receive now.
We receive now.
Every sin is blotted out.
Every sin is blotted out.
We receive now.
We receive now
the righteousness of God.
The righteousness of God.
We are righteous.
We are righteous.
We touch your altar.
We touch your altar.
Every filthiness is gone.
Every filthiness.
And every holiness is restored.
And all holiness is restored.
Bless our life, O Lord.
Bless our life, O God.
Let us live a pure and holy life before you.
Let's live a pure and holy life
before you. We receive healing.
Receive healing.
We receive blessings.
Receive blessings.
We receive peace.
Receive peace.
We receive strength.
Receive strength.
We receive joy.
Receive joy.
And all the fruit of the Spirit.
And all the fruit of the Spirit.
Functioning perfectly.
Functioning perfectly.
In our lives.
In our lives.
If you believe this, in Jesus' name, say amen.
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 Praise
Take and
Lord.
Drink.
Hallelujah. God is good.
All the time.
Amen. I want to thank God for every one of you that took time to participate today. We look forward to having you tomorrow for another time of coming together. May God's grace abound to us, every one of us. Amen. And may we flourish in the courts of our God. Amen. All of our days. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Amen. You are atoned for. Yes. Grace abounds towards you. Amen. And you are righteous in Him.
Amen.
Amen. Good night.
Sure.
Love you guys.
Bless.
Amen.